All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21. 1 Kings, chapter 21. First Kings 21. I'd like to preach for about 20 minutes tonight. I've never done that, but I'd like to do it. But I got a lot of message, but I'll let you out in time for us to have communion and for you to get out on the regular time. Lord willing. All right, let's look at verse 1, please. 1 Kings chapter 21. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria." Now, Ahab, king of Samaria, you remember now the kingdom was divided, and so Ahab did not rule in Jerusalem. The king of Judah ruled in Jerusalem. His name was Jehoshaphat. All right, so Jehoshaphat was down in Judah, and Ahab was in the northern 10 tribes, and that was called Israel, and Samaria was the capital city at that time. Verse 2 says that Ahab spake unto Naboth. All right, so remember now, Naboth had a vineyard. Don't forget that. Naboth had a vineyard. And Ahab spake, verse 2, unto Naboth, saying, "Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." All right, now notice this. He says to him, first of all, give it to me. In other words, surrender it to me. Then secondly, he says, swap it with me. And then thirdly, he says, sell it to me. Well, here's the rest of the story. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me." In other words, it's against the law of Moses for me to sell you this vineyard. Now you say, well, why was that? Well, because he inherited it from his family, and they were not to sell land. All right, you whatever you got, you end up selling your land, you're not going to have a place to live. You remember when they came over, everybody got doled out what was their part of the promised land. And so he said, I can't do that. Naboth said to the king, I can't do that. The Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. So he did not want to give up. He had spiritual reasons that he did not want to give up the land that he inherited from his father, from his family. All right, now watch. This is what happens next. "And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid himself laid himself down upon his bed. Boy, that seems little hard. And he turned away his face so nobody could see him and refused to eat anything for dinner. Poor little baby. Don't you feel sorry for him? I mean, come on. This is a grown man. This is a grown man. I'm sure that somewhere, somehow along the way in his life, somebody told him no. But the way he acts, you got to wonder, don't you? All right, read on, verse 5. Enter the devil. All right, watch his wife. Her name's Jezebel. Everybody knows Jezebel, right? You know who Jezebel is. She is the most wicked woman in the Bible. And she is as evil-hearted and as cold-blooded as she could be. And so Ahab's wife says, and again, notice the wording, but Jezebel. My. When you see that, you know trouble is coming, don't you? But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, yeah, sound effects. Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and he said unto me, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for your vineyard, for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Oh, my. And so Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? You see what she's doing? Well, big boy, aren't you the king around here? You know? Aren't you the head honcho? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. Here she goes. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name. In other words, she's lying, she's deceiving, and sealed them with his seal, with his stamp, and sent the letters unto the elders, to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of who? Belial, that's the devil. Sons of the devil. The most foul, wicked men you can get. Ones that will play along, all right? Ones that will go with the flow here. To hear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, and he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Huh. Hey, folks, look here. You know, bad things can happen to good people. You know? That's the world we live in. You say, well, it's not fair. No, nobody said life was fair. Nobody said that life was fair. Bad things happen to good people. Bad people do bad things. And all you got to do is just open your eyes, and you can see how true that is. All right, verse 14 says, they said to Jezebel, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Now look, please, at verse 18. The Bible says that Elijah shows up, and Elijah, the prophet, says, arise, verse 18, go down to meet Ahab. The Lord said to Elijah, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down, where he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. In other words, this got King Ahab and his wife Jezebel death certificates from God Almighty. All right, now, I want you to look back here now for just a little bit tonight, and I want to say to you at the outset of this message, the wicked king wants your vineyard. The wicked king wants your vineyard. Let's pray together. Father, thank you now for your word. And I pray you'll bless this to our hearts this evening. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And I pray you'll help me as I speak. I pray that every young person in here, every young married couple, every adult, every elderly, Father, just help us all to realize, no matter how old we are, the wicked king wants our vineyard. And so I pray you'll help us to see the importance of not being for sale, and to stand, and having done all, to stand. So, Father, bless as I speak, and help us all to get something tonight that will help us live for you. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. According to verse 3, Naboth had spiritual, religious reasons for not selling or wanting to sell his property. Now, when they came into the land and the land was divvied up, all right, you could sell your land to someone else. You could do it. But it was viewed as if you did not care about your heritage. If you sold what actually the Lord had given to your family, what you were saying is, this land doesn't mean very much to me. Well, that was viewed with a very glaring eye. You just simply did not get rid of what ultimately, going back in time, God gave to your family. The land was viewed as sacred. It was viewed as holy land. We still call it the holy land today. And so, when Ahab came to Naboth and said to him, I want your vineyard. You see, Naboth, your vineyard just comes right up to the edge of my property, and I'd like to have it. So I'd like for you to just give it to me, if you would. Just surrender it. Well, he probably saw Naboth flinch when he said, give it to me. Surrender it. Give it to me. No. He could see that Naboth was not interested in giving his land away. It was sacred to him, and he didn't want to give it up. And so the wicked king then said, well, I tell you what, if you don't want to give it to me, then let's swap it out, all right? If you won't surrender it, let's swap it out. I'll give you a field somewhere else in town, and you can have it. It can be yours. You just go pick out what you want. I'll give it to you. You give me your inheritance. Naboth said, nope, not interested in that. Well, then, if you're not going to surrender it, you're not going to swap it, then sell it to me. And Naboth said, oh, no, can't do that. Not going to swap it out. There's no way. I'm not going to sell it to you. I'm not going to surrender it to you. It's not for sale. He stood his ground against Ahab. Now, that's important, folks, to stand your ground against the wicked king. You see, there is a wicked king. His name's the devil. His name's Satan. His name is Lucifer, who has fallen from heaven. He is that evil one. He is the serpent, as we saw this morning. And I want to say to you tonight that that there is an evil king who wants your vineyard. And you just ought to stand up to him and tell him, I'm not for sale. Amen. I'm just not for sale. Years ago, when I was in my mid-20s, I was probably about 24, 25 years of age, if memory serves me correct, and I preached in a revival meeting for a church down in the southern part of West Virginia, and this church, this pastor called me and said, I'm trying to get our church out of the American Baptist Convention. Would you come and help me? And I said, well, I've never done anything like that. What do you want me to do? He said, well, I want you just to come and preach on fundamental Bible doctrines that many of them no longer believe. I said, well, I can do that. So I went down to that church, and we started on a Monday night, and I preached on the virgin birth and why I think the virgin birth is a fundamental doctrine. Well, there was a fella in the service, and I didn't know who he was. The preacher didn't tell me who he was. He knew who he was. But after the service was over, this fella walks up to me, and he said, how old are you, son? And I said, who wants to know, Dad? I smiled. I was not being a smart, well, a little bit, but not too much. And I said, who wants to know, Dad? And smiled, and he smiled back, and he told me his name. And I said, oh, well, it's good to meet you. And I shook his hand. He shook mine. He said, we've been following your ministry for the last 4 years. And I said, well, you hadn't had to go very far, have you? He said, no, but we've been keeping an eye on you. And I said, well, what for? I said, who's we, by the way? And he said, well, the convention. And I said, what convention? He said, the American Baptist Convention. And I said, you've been watching me? Why are you watching me? Well, we would like to offer you a church and have you grow that church and make it a part of the convention here in the state of West Virginia. And I said, no, I'm not interested in that. He said, but son, you don't realize what you're turning down. He said, we have a health insurance program that's second to none. And I thought, well, that's more than what I got. I've got a pat on the back and say, you owe me a bunch of money. All right. My girls were 6 years old before we got them paid for. All right. If that's any idea how bad the insurance was for preachers down in West Virginia. And he said, you can just tell us what church you want. I said, say that again. You can just tell us what church you want. And I said, you mean I could, and I named a church that was the big church down in Huntington, West Virginia. I said, you mean I can have that one? And he said, well, we can get you on staff, and then you can take over the church in just a few years after the pastor is retired. I said, well, who's going to retire the pastor? And he said, well, we know some people. I said, sir, what you're talking about doing here is not right. He said, well, we're not concerned with what's right now. We just want to give you the opportunity to rise in our ranks. I said, sir, let me tell you something. I held out my King James Bible, and I said to him, I said, I've got too much invested in my education. I've got too much invested in my family. I've got too much invested in the church that I pastor right now. And I've got too much invested in all of the 5 years, the 4 years I crammed into 5 years when I was in Bible college. And so I'm not interested. And so he said, you just think on it. I said, I already did. I'm telling you right now, I'm not interested. Well, I finished a week, and I did preach on the doctrines, and the next week, that pastor, or a couple of weeks later, that pastor had a vote, and they pulled out of the convention. That church today is still an independent Baptist church. And so a few years went by, and so I ended up down at another church, not the same one, but another church, and this fella came up to me, and he said, young man, I said, yes, I graduated. You know, I wasn't son no more, I'm a young man. And still had pimples on my face, but I was a young man. And he said, I'm representing the convention. I said, what convention? He said, the American Baptist Convention. And I said, no, I'm not interested in anything you got to say. I'm not interested. And I turned and walked away from him. Well, he sat down in the service, and about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes into my message, where I was preaching on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. And all of a sudden, you hear this coughing, and this man stands up, and he's making a big scene back there trying to get through. Excuse me. He's knocking people on the legs as he goes by. Sorry, excuse me. And walked out the back door. Well, I was livid. I knew what I was livid. So after the service was over, He was waiting on me out in the parking lot. And he walked up to me and he said, "Well, guess you see I walked out on you, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, I did. And you watch real carefully because I'm just about to walk out on you." And I turned around and went to my car and got out of there. He just stood there in the parking lot, hands on hips. I don't guess you're supposed to talk to him that way. But what I saw was a false prophet. "I guess you saw I walked out on you." "Yes, I saw you walk out on me. Now you watch real carefully because I'm about to walk out on you." And I went around him and got in my car and drove on. You know what I was saying? Not for sale. Not for sale. Folks, I would not be here tonight and have experienced all the things that the church, the open door, has meant and done in my life. I would not be here if I had not told that man, not for sale. And that's what every Christian ought to say to the evil king. He comes and says, "Hey, I'll give you this." "No, I've got my own vineyard. Thank you very much. I don't need your vineyard." "Well, let's just swap it out. I got a better one over here." "No, you don't. This one God gave me. This is the one that God gave me. I believe I'll keep it." "Oh, well, I'll buy it from you." No, there's not enough money. You don't have enough money to buy this vineyard from me. This came from my family, and it's not for sale. And I just wish every single person who knows Christ as Savior would simply just stand up and say to the evil king, "I am not for sale." Tell him you're not going to go and follow him. You're just not going to do it. So let's look at the wicked king's proposal here for just a minute. Can you hear Ahab looking at Naboth and saying to him, "I want your vineyard. I want your vineyard. I want your spiritual heritage. Not for sale. Not for sale. No, sir. I want your convictions. I want your convictions, Christian." "No. You just tell the King Ahab, go on back where you came from. Not for sale here. You can't have my convictions." "Well, how about your testimony? Can I get your testimony from you?" There you ought to stand up and say, "No, sir. Nobody is going to take my testimony from me." But that's what the evil king wants to do. He'll give you a proposal and say, "Why don't you do this?" "No, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to follow the Lord." Oh, the need for Christians to be like Naboth, who won't compromise. In the book of Proverbs, the wisest man that ever lived, so they say, Solomon, in Proverbs 23, and ironically in verse 23, the Bible says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Amen. Buy the truth and sell it not. Young people, listen. Listen. There's a wicked king that wants your vineyard. Young people, the wicked king wants your standards. The wicked king wants your character. The wicked king wants your purity, young lady. The wicked king wants your morality, young man. The wicked king wants your decency. He won't just take it, though. No, he will offer you all kinds of things for it. Young people, he'll offer you a popularity for it. Popularity. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. Listen to me. You just do right. You buy the truth and sell it not. Hey, somebody might laugh at you for buying the truth and selling it not. Somebody may laugh at you, but listen, you'll be 10,000 times better off if you will simply stand upon the truth that God gives you right here in this book. And when the devil comes along and says, hey, let me give you this. All I want, your vineyard. No, you can't have my vineyard. God gave me that vineyard, and it is not for sale. You may lose some friends. So what? So what? You'll make new friends. You may not be the most popular person in school, but hey, listen, buy the truth and sell it not. Who cares about popularity? You know, reputation, that's what men think of you. But character is what God knows you are. So why don't we just have some character and stand up to the wicked king and say, no, sir, I am not for sale. And don't let the devil have your vineyard. You take a stand and you just tell old King Ahab that you're not going to trade, you're not going to barter, you're not going to sell. I mean, you'll be able to look yourself in the mirror one day down the road, and you'll be able to stand there with your head held high and not ashamed of how one day you sold it all just so you could have some friends. That's the most foolish thing you'll ever do. Don't do it, young people. You listen to your pastor tonight. The wicked king wants your vineyard. Don't sell out because of popularity. Don't sell out because of anything else. Don't sell out to keep a job. Don't sell out to do that. Don't sell out your convictions to run around with a certain crowd. Just don't do it. Don't trade the truth for nothing. And that's what Ahab's trying to get you to trade it for. Absolutely nothing. Now, girls, you listen to your pastor. Don't sell your character. Don't sell your purity to some heathen whose only interest is his own lustful heart. Don't do it. Tell you, if a little mouse came running across the floor of the church, all these teenage girls around here, they'd all get up in the pew and they'd be screaming and shouting, and yet they'll go out and get in the back seat of a car with a rat. Shame on you. You just say, I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. Now, secondly, think of this. What's the purpose of a vineyard? You know, Satan wants your vineyard. What's the purpose of a vineyard? Well, it's to grow fruit, is it not? It's to produce. I mean, a vineyard was a place where you could grow fruit. It's a place where fruit, let me just say it this way, the easy way. It is a place where the fruit is produced. You know, that's what we're all supposed to be doing, producing fruit for the Lord, right? You sell your vineyard, you've lost your ability to produce fruit. Yeah. Yeah. In other words, the wicked king wants your fruit. Think of that. I mean, his aim is to get you and me into a place where we don't, can't, won't produce fruit. That's what he wants. If he can mess your life up, mark it down, he will. He'll do it in a minute. If he can destroy you now, so that he ruins your character now, ruins your testimony, ruins your life. If he can ruin you now, he'll sit back and smile as you have to face trial after trial after trial as you go through life. I spoke with a friend of mine several years back now, but I spoke with a friend of mine, and the last thing that I said to him before, I didn't speak to him for eons, but the last thing I said to him when I was in high school, I said, you need to get saved or you're going to end up a casualty. He had one of those personalities where, you know, it was all or nothing. He's just crazy. He'd do anything. You could stand back and prod him to do something, and it could be the most foolish thing in the world, and he'd have done it. And just laugh the whole time he was doing it. And I told him, you need to get saved. No, I'm not getting saved. I'm not going to church. You're not going to get me in church. Well, There was a message on the phone. This was years ago, just shortly after we came here. And he left a message on the phone back there, and he said, this is, and gave me his name. And he said, call me if you get a chance. Well, of course, I called him the next morning. And I said to him, I said, where are you? And he said, well, I'm in the hospital right now. Hospital? What happened? He said, I tried to kill myself. I said, well, man, why would you do that? He said, Norse, do you remember the last thing you said to me in high school? I said, no. He said, you told me that I was going to destroy my life, that I was going to make a disaster out of my life. I said, I told you that? He said, you most certainly did. He said, I laughed at you. I said, now I do remember that. I laughed at you. I said, yes, sir, I remember that. He said, well, I called to apologize. I said, I didn't know what to say. And I said, wait a minute, apologize for what? He said, for laughing at you. I said, brother, did you think that offended me? He said, well, it would have offended me. And I said, well, that didn't offend me at all. I said, you don't have a thing to apologize to me about. I said, but you do have someone you need to apologize to. Well, who's that? And I said, do you remember that conversation we were having was about you trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Yeah, I remember that. I said, how many times have you tried to take your own life? He said, several. I said, you know, one of these days you're going to be successful. Oh, it got quiet on the other end. About as quiet as it is in here right now. That's sobering, isn't it? And I told him, I said, you know, one of these days you're going to be successful. You're going to try again, and you're going to succeed. And do you realize what is going to happen the day that you are successful and you leave this world and wake up in the next world? He said, well, no, I don't know what's going to happen. I told him what was going to happen. I said, that is exactly what's waiting on you. I don't want that. I said, have you had enough? Yes, I've had enough. And I was able to take the Bible over the phone and explain the salvation gospel to him. And he cried like a baby and prayed and ask the Lord to be a Savior. Amen. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Don't be for sale. You can, young people, listen. If you sell your vineyard, the devil's going to beat you to death. He's just going to wear you out. I don't know about you, but I just made up my mind. I want to do what's right. I want to serve. I want to do what's right. I want to be able to have the hand of God guiding my life and not a bottle somewhere. You see these folks that are just, they're just tattooed from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Why? Why? Why would you do something like that? Don't you realize that that is going to stick with you for the rest of your life? Why would you do that? Well, I want to be like everybody else. No. No, you don't. You want to be like Jesus. Amen. And folks, I'll guarantee if Jesus was here, he would not have tattoos on his arms showing everybody how cool he was. My, my, my. You just look at Esau. You just look at the prodigal son. Look at Esau. Sold out for a bowl of soup. For a bowl of soup. That's not much. The prodigal son in Luke 15, he compromised and sold out to his flesh. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says he wasted his substance on riotous living. He wasted. Don't waste your life. Serve with your life. Do what God wants you to do. Don't follow King Ahab. Ahab comes along and says, hey, let me dole you out some money here for your vineyard. Not for sale. Not for sale. I'm not interested. Devil comes along and says, hey, I'll make you popular. You say, nope, not for sale. Hey, I'll make you rich. No, not for sale. Hey, I'll make you happy. The devil cannot make you happy. That's a lie. Hey, I'll make you cool. Well, whoop-de-doo. You know, that fades. That fades. You see some of the, I laugh. Oh, my goodness. I got a question for you. How is Mick Jagger still alive? Huh? How is Paul McCartney still alive? Somebody answer that. There, you know? I guess if you sell your soul to the devil, I guess, you know, he'll bargain and keep you around as long as he can. But you see them now and their faces hang down to here, you know? Their tattoos look like road maps. You see, you and I are to produce fruit for God. Amen. And so you got decisions to make, don't you, young folks? You got decisions to make, don't you, young father? You got decisions to make. What are you going to do when Ahab comes along and says, I want your vineyard? You better make the right choice. And you know how you do that? You make a decision right here tonight. Purpose, like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and all the rest of purpose in your heart. That you are not going to defile yourself with what the King has to offer. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Young people, listen. You will be 10,000 times more happy if you'll do the will of God than if you sell your vineyard to some King Ahab. You will do much better in life. You'll be happier. You'll be more fruitful. You'll be more blessed if you'll just do the right thing. So would you let God speak to your heart tonight? Would you let God speak? Make a decision that you're going to stand for the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, you know our needs. And Father, I pray that you will meet needs in our lives tonight as only you can. And Father, I pray for our young people. I pray for every teenager, and I pray for our young men and our young ladies. I pray for young moms and dads. And Father, help them to buy the truth and sell it not. Help them to just put a sign up in the front yard, not for sale. Not for sale. And Father, may we do the will of God instead of the will of a wicked king. So speak to our hearts and draw us to yourself, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.